able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. It reminds me, I was just thinking about what Brother Burton preached this morning about making a vow or committing, and singing that chorus about, you know, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So we can't, making a vow would probably, it because we don't know what we're going to do, making a vow is not a good thing, but trying to commit to the Lord, amen. That's what we need to do. And if we fail, if we fall, we can always ask for forgiveness and ask for help. And I do that all the time. So praise God. Amen. What, does anyone have a favorite? We'll get across the page and then we'll get another song. What number, brother? 401 after. We'll do 629 and then 401. 629 and then 401. In loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. He called me long before I heard, before my sinful heart was stirred. But when I took him at his word, forgiven, he lifted me. From sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. His brow was pierced with many a thorn, his hands by cruel devil nails were torn, when from my guilt and grief forlorn, in love lifted me. From sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. Now on a higher plane I dwell, and with my soul I now tis dwell. Yet how or why, I cannot tell, he should have lifted me. From sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. Boy, I haven't sung that in a long time. But it's a great song. Great song. 401. Turn over to 401. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. One more and we'll have our offering. Two more and we'll have an offering. I can't. They rose their hand, though. Pardon me? 637. 637. My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. A God of mine and miracles, 'tis written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Though here his glory has been shown, we still can't fully see the wonders of his mightiest throne. 'Twill take eternity. It took a miracle to put the stars in play. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. The Bible tells us of his power and wisdom all the way through. And every little bird and flower are testimonies too. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Amen. Amen. One more, sister. 649. Brother Ramel, would you come? Amen. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its wrath all aboard. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, happy bond that seals my vows to him who merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill his house while to the sacred shrine I move. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. It's done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me in, I followed on, thrilled to confess the voice divine. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. At peace my long divided heart can in this calm assurance rest. There is no power can make me part from love by which I've been possessed. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Amen. Brother Ramel. Thank you, Nancy. We're blessed to have Brother Burton back for us tonight. Amen. He's going to share the word with us. Come on up, Brother Burton. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. And happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Amen. Amen. You know, these hymns that we sang tonight, what a fantastic content, you know, of beautiful doctrine, sound doctrine. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin, and the miracle, and the first one, you know, I remember, Lord, I'm confident, even though I don't understand everything. And you know, the one thing that we realize that everything is in God's hands, and everything is a miracle. Really, that if we know the Lord, if we walk with the Lord, we expect his coming, and all is by his grace and his mercy in our lives. And so, tonight we're going to do something a little different. Definitely not weird, but different. Rather than preach to you, I have had several sermons. I had one on Ephesians 2:1-10, you know, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that any man should boast. And the past, present, and future, and that wonderful passage in Ephesians, and to preach the gospel. I'm looking forward to doing that in that passage. And I thought of other messages too. But tonight, what I want to do is try to challenge you for this new year. And this is not easy. It is not always easy. But what I would like you to try and do is find out some favorite verses that you have in the Bible. In the Bible, 3 verses. 5 verses, 10 verses, and memorize those verses. And then use them to feed your soul. Take the verses and use them in prayer. And so you have something that you're meditating on when you're driving your car, when you're walking the dog around the block, or whatever. And now you already know that I happen to have been blessed, really, when I got out of the Navy and I got in college, and I was a history major. But one thing I also happened to get in was Dawson Trotman's and the Navigators, and I memorized a lot of verses. And actually, he wanted Bessie and I to get married and go and work in France with the Navigators. And so instead of knowing Spanish and Portuguese, I would have known French, I guess, you know? And but one thing at that time, Dawson Trotman wasn't local church-oriented. Bessie knew his background very well. He wasn't church-oriented. He later on became that, and the Navigators did that. But these verses that I memorized in the Navigators' work are about 60 years old. You mean, because, as I say, I went from English to Spanish to Portuguese, and I began memorizing verses in Spanish and Portuguese, and so I left memorizing verses pretty much. I have a little cigar box that I did, and it had 2,000 verses in it, you know, and I memorized a lot of verses. So I am not trying to show off. I'm not trying to show off, and I'm not trying to put you under a guilt complex. I'm just saying that we all need something of the scripture that we meditate on in the scriptures. Psalm 23. There are some of you here who've been a Christian all your life, and you've never memorized Psalm 23. You can, and so you can't walk around and you meditate on that Psalm 23 and you turn it into a prayer. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh Lord, you're my shepherd, I have everything that I need. And you go through and you pray the psalm. And so that's why I say, just find out something that is precious to you so that you can have something to meditate on in the Word of God. But it's not, for example, this generation of kids, they don't memorize anything. The baby boomers didn't memorize. The millennial generation, by outside of Awana and so forth, they don't memorize the scripture. And so don't be embarrassed about this, but just for your own blessing, for your own rejoicing, why I tried to memorize something. So what I'm going to do tonight is look at two passages that are very full of content and blessing, and I happen to have memorized these passages, and so there are some of those that I feed upon. And so let's turn first of all to Philippians chapter 2. And now Pat, I think, I don't know how he's doing on it, Pat memorized Philippians, didn't you, Pat? You memorized Philippians. And I try to memorize Philippians, the whole book. But in order to memorize, you have to review. Otherwise, you don't use it, lose it, you lose it, right? And so, but what I'd like to do, a very famous passage here is from Philippians 2 and from 1 down to 13. Now, as I say, this is just filled with content. It's filled with doctrine. It's filled with example. And I'll tell you how I happen to use this particular passage. But look at this, first of all, because the title says here, Christ the Believer's Pattern, Rejoicing in Lowly Service. Wow. Okay. Here Paul is exhorting these believers in Philippi. In chapter 4, where we learn that there are two women who were arguing in the congregation. They couldn't get along with one another. They were helpers of the Apostle Paul, but didn't get along with them. And so he exhorts them in chapter 4 to try to get along with one another, these Christians in the local church. Well, here is something similar too. And so notice what it says here. The exhortation to unity here and meekness. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ. Now what happens here is I do actually memorize this and I go over it. So sometimes I'm in Target And while I'm going through Target to go to the pharmacy, I meditate on these verses. And I said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and I just meditate, there is consolation in Christ, right? If there be any consolation in Christ, is there consolation in Christ? Yes. You know, if any comfort of love, is there comfort of love in the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. And so here I'm meditating on this, going through Target. You know, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your consolation. Thank you for your comfort, the comfort of love. If there is here any fellowship of the Spirit, the fellowship of the Spirit, the koinonia, you know, a fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And so here these are all positive things in these believers and our relationship to the Lord. There's consolation in Christ, there's comfort, there's fellowship of the Spirit. If any bowels and mercies, well, okay, bowels, affections, whatever is inside. I don't know whether we should say, are there any guts? But anyhow, bowels here. In any case, notice bowels and mercies. He says, look, you guys, there's consolation in Christ, there's comfort in Christ, there's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, there's this inner mercies and affections. He says then, therefore, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. In other words, you believers there, you're growing. We founded the church there in Philippi, you know. But now look at these wonderful things. He says, fulfill my joy. Paul wants to be joyful, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Is that what we want in a local congregation, right? That's what we want right here with us. That these things, and Paul says, I'm going to rejoice, you know, in these things. That ye be like-minded and have the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And then he says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, you know, vain glory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, his own interests, owing, but every man also on the things of others. Not to steal them, but the interests of others, right? And so here he's trying to get these believers to work together, to love together, to walk in the Spirit together, and this would give him great joy, you know, if they would do that. And so this I was often thought, in fact, a couple years ago, when I was getting up to speaking up in Vista at the Hispanic Church, many of you know that at the seminary I had classes in Spanish and in English, and I had these Mexican fellows. I went over to Tijuana on Saturdays for a year, and Betsy'd take me down to the border. I'd cross across the border. I'd be picked up, and I'd go. And on Saturdays I had classes from 9 to 12 with about 5 students for a year. I taught church history in Spanish. And I had these 2 volumes by a guy I wrote in Spanish. They were 570 pages, each volume. And I was just determined to read those 2 volumes in Spanish. And finally I got done. I said, Luise, I did it. I did these 2 crazy volumes. They were beautiful, you know, history of the church. And it was great. But anyhow, so I went over there and did that, and that's what we wanted to do, is build the body of Christ in that way, so one mind in Christ, so praise the Lord for those opportunities to do that, over there with these students. But anyhow, what I was going to say is that one of my students, there's 2 students, one is in Chula Vista here. He has a Hispanic church. His name is Gutierrez. He's a good preacher, teacher, and a good pastor. And he's got three generations going this in the Hispanic church. The other is up in Vista, and he, Elguera, Jose Luis Elguera, he is the manager of all the Wendy's in San Diego County. He's a brilliant guy. He's a joy to work with. But he had us come up to a Valentine's dinner, and then later on we went up there, up to Big Bear, and had a conference with couples, and then later on I went up there and had a conference with 24 men, a men's conference up in Big Bear. But one at this Valentine's deal, I used this passage to apply to a couple, a married couple. Wouldn't that work? Look good? Look at there. If there be any consolation of Christ, and then fulfill my joy. Oh, yes, that they be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, and let nothing be done through strife, you know. So I use this passage for couples there at this particular thing. So here we have this exhortation to meekness. But then we have the example of the Lord Jesus. And this is such a famous passage, you know, the sevenfold self-humbling of the Lord Jesus. Let this mind, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Wow. Well, and what was the mind that was in Christ Jesus? What kind of mind did Jesus have there? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, something to be grasped, to equal with God. He wasn't all flipped off about that because he became the God-man. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, I take that passage, and you can't believe this. I'm in a store, you know, and I'm meditating on that. Maybe I have a cart, and I just think, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And you know, he made himself of no reputation. Lord, I would yield myself to have no reputation, you know, and he humbled himself. Lord, and I've tried to do that. Lord, I would do like Jesus, have this mind that is in Christ Jesus. So I would humble myself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so, man, I really, in my mind, I want that. You know, I would humble myself. Lord, you know, Peter says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And some believe it takes the mighty hand of God to be humble. Right? To humble ourselves. We're so filled with self, with pride, and we're just all our lives. I don't know about you, and maybe women have a less problem than men, but we got that old ego in there. We got to prove something. And so we have pride. And so I really use this passage. And so, Lord, I want to humble myself. And humble myself, become obedient. Wow. Obedient. Unto death, and even the death of the cross. Wow. So this passage is what I meditate on. But I go on too. As a result of that, and obedient, verse 9, wherefore also God highly exalted him, and gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And he is Lord, right? He is Lord. So, now I'm just saying that this happens to be one of my passages, and then look what it says in verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. It doesn't say work for salvation, right? It says work out, you are saved. Okay, work that out with fear and trembling, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his own good pleasure, right? And so this for me is one of my passages. And now you find your passage, you know? And that can be such a blessing to you. And so this particular passage. Now, let me look at another passage. Let's look for now at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this is another passage that I memorized and meditate on. Now, you remember that Paul established the church in Thessalonica, and we've studied that church. We've studied the founding of the church in Acts 17, you know, how Paul established the church. We've studied this whole epistle. Dr. R.C. has taken us through this 1 Thessalonians. I've probably tried to take you through 1 Thessalonians, and Thessalonians is one of the favorite ones too, the whole epistle, you know. And in fact, divided up this way, chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and you know, we have chapter 1, a dynamic local church, salvation, right? Salvation, a successful Christian worker, service. You have the in chapter 2, and then you have sanctification, salvation, service, sanctification, you know, the life that pleases God and the second coming of Christ. In every chapter, it mentions the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, in this epistle. But it's a wonderful. Actually, at the men's retreat up at Big Bear, there were 24 men. There were 12 of them were young people. And this was a neat time. It was at the time I was anemic, and I didn't know I was anemic. And I was afraid to go up to 5,000 feet. On the ball field, I was passing out, right, Roger? And I was weak. And I because I didn't know that I was anemic. You know, my hemoglobin was 5, and it's supposed to be 11 or 12. And I was anemic, and I didn't know it. Well, at that time was also this retreat, men's retreat, up at Big Bear. And I was afraid to go. And Betsy just said, "You wimp, get up there and do what you're supposed to do." And so I went through 1 Thessalonians in Spanish. We had a fantastic time. Now, we went out on the lake in two boats. And what you do is you rent these boats, and they let you drive the boat, somebody. But it was absolutely freezing on the lake. There was a wind, terrible wind, and you could not get warm. And we spent 2 hours, you know, out on that lake in the middle of winter. And but what a beautiful time we had, you know. But anyhow, what happened then is one portion I memorized in this particular book was beginning here with verse 16, chapter 5, verse 16. And I just happened to memorize this, so I meditate on this. Rejoice evermore, you know. Be happy all the time. And then another portion in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, and it's a command, right? We are to rejoice. Rejoice evermore. Wow. And in every circumstance, and this is always hard, very, very hard. And it's, you know, it's kind of easier to have joy in the Lord when everything's going pretty good. And but when there are these upsets, you know, and you ladies who've had cancer and so forth, man, you've been through it, you know. And I mean, yeah, rejoice in the Lord, ha, 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 you know. And so, but I meditate on that. Rejoice evermore. And maybe we can do that because we have pray without ceasing. And this has always been a mystery to all of us, isn't it? How do you pray without ceasing? I mean, I think what I'm trying to do, yeah, I haven't quite arrived, you know, and but I'm working on it, is you pray without ceasing. The recognition and probably the conscious recognition that we are in the presence of God, We live in the presence of God. So whether we're washing dishes, or now I'm washing dishes and I'm vacuuming and mopping the floors and everything else. And by the way, and I want you to pray about this. This is kind of a secret, and maybe I shouldn't even say it. But I realize now that my ministry is Betsy. And it is not doing what I want to do. It's what she wants to do. You know, and I have a little, sometime I have to, I'll bring out this little deal. It says, 5 questions that a husband ought to ask his wife. Well, I am telling you, and it has scripture with it too. 5 things a husband should ask his wife. Well, I look at the 5 things, and Betsy and I look at it, and it's too late. mean, but one of the things is we want to have fun together. Let's have fun. And it says, husband, what you think is fun for you is not necessarily fun for your wife. So do what she likes to do, not what you like to do. And so that's a challenge, isn't it? But it's such a blessing to try to do that because you're in the presence of the Lord. But pray about this concept, and I got to be careful, you know, but I got to say, my ministry is to my little girl. You know, I want to do a ministry to this little girl. She's my little girl. She's my doll. And I shouldn't probably say all that with you guys, but you're confidence, right? And you would pray. And not do what I have to do. I have to be careful about playing softball. After all, that leaves her alone for 3 or 4 hours. This up here, what we're doing today, she's leaving her alone. And you know what, companionship, one of the concepts of Genesis chapter 2 in marriage is companionship. Now, this doesn't work at all when you're a young married couple. I mean, you're this way and that way and every way. But especially when you get older, companionship means that you are present. You are with where the other person is, you know, and you're doing things together, right? And that's a hard concept when we are so used to doing what we want to do, right? And that's where prayer comes in, right? You're in the presence of the Lord, you know? And so here then, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We know about this verse, you know? And so the idea is to thank God in every circumstance. Give thanks for this is the will of God. I guess in every situation, there's reason to give thanks to the Lord. But that is easier said than done. And I do not pretend at all to know how this works. When I'm laid out and I'm groaning and moaning, you know, and I don't feel so good, and I've got pain, and I haven't had that very often, you know, and I don't know whether I'm murmuring and poor me. They say about suicide, you know, that the thing about suicide is it's supposed to be the ultimate of self-pity. Now, that's another subject to study, so I won't say any more about it. But anyhow, that's supposed to be self-pity, see, self-centeredness. And see, but in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to know the will of God, here's one of the will of a God's, right? The other in chapter 4, it says, yeah, the will of God is your sanctification, that you abstain from, you know, evil things and immorality. But here's another one, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you, yeah? In Christ concerning you. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And be thankful from our hearts. And then quench not the Spirit. You know, we have in Ephesians, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And it lists those things in chapter 4 of the things that grieve the Holy Spirit. And then contrast be kind one to another. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, Rachel, our adopted Brazilian, she's kind of an artist. And years ago, she put up, she made a deal with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it happens to be right behind our table there. And so I am looking at this thing. And lately, I have just been looking at it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not rude. Love seeketh not its own. You know, love is not boastful. Love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices in the truth. And then I like this. Love believes all things, hopes all things, right? And so I've been looking at that, and several times a day when I'm at that table there, you know? And love always trusts, you know? Love always hopes and always persevere. And so, wow! And that's what I'm meditating on there. But anyhow, quenching the spirit. Here you have grieving the spirit in Ephesians. Here's quenching the spirit, putting out the flame of the Holy Spirit. Well, we don't believe that the context is talking about salvation, losing your salvation. But the context is this. This is really kind of neat. You know, it says, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings. And now we're not talking about new revelations or Old Testament prophets, but we are talking about preachers and teachers. Despise not prophesyings. And look at this. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So you get a preacher up here, and you listen to this character, and you know the Word of God, and you say, is this guy really true blue? Right? Is he really preaching the Word of God and sound doctrine? You're going to be having people visit here, right? We're going to get a pastor in here. And so, okay, we want to see about this, not in a critical way, but in a discerning way, to be discernment. Don't quench the spirit, and don't despise this, but you have to prove all things, right? Hold fast that which is good, right? And so that I think about that too. And because I need to be ministered unto all the time by other people, right? And then this here, abstain from all appearance of evil. Oh boy. You know, if something appears to be evil. Now, that has a long, broad application too that we could think about, you know, and I'm sure that missionaries go through some of this. There was a guy named Harvey Kahn, and he was a missionary in Korea, and he and his wife worked among the prostitutes of Korea, trying to reach these ladies for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he had to be very, very careful. You can be sure of that, right? And so forth. So a lot depends where you are and what your ministry is. But in any case, you abstain from all appearance of evil, you know. And then this is just so wonderful right here. This is where we get that man is a triite person, you know, three parts. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely. The very God of peace sanctify you, separate you, make you holy. We have two holies here. One is holy, H-O-L-Y, be holy for I am holy. And then we have whole, the holistic person, W-H-O-L-E. So here, the God of peace, sanctify you completely, holy, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the last things I did in 1990, we were visiting the Amazon River, and I was having a young people's meeting, and I drew this thing and put it up and discussed this young people. It was a triangle, and God was in the matter, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, but also you had man who was a tripart person, body, soul, and spirit, and this includes your mind, your will, your emotions, and so forth. But there's a lot of teaching along that line. But Paul says to these people, hey, I want you to be holistic. You know, in other words, holy, be holy, you know, pure and holy, but also be holistic. Your act together, you know, you're kind of a person. You have body, soul, and spirit. And this is all supposed to function together by the grace of God. And sometimes it's kind of hard, but he says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Scofield Bible here has a man, a Trinity. He has a whole page about this thing. You know, explanation of this, of the man, of man, and what humans are, and so forth. And so, but he said, God will do this. God will sanctify you. God will keep you. God will bless you spiritually, mentally, emotionally, morally, physically. Sometimes I pray that way, Lord. Oh, Lord, just keep me, preserve me spiritually and mentally, emotionally, morally, physically, to the praise of the glory of your grace, right? Sometimes I think of Betsy. I mean, this weird thing of marriage. The two shall be one flesh. So I say, Lord, just keep us united together as one, spiritually and mentally and emotionally and morally and physically, you know, to the praise of your glory. And so we try to, we think of that. Sometimes I pray that with Betsy, you know, actually, too. And because we are all of this, and be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. As I said, in every chapter here of Thessalonians, you have the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So may he, because he's the God of peace, may he preserve us, you know, our whole being for his glory and praise. I don't know where Alzheimer's fits into this. Dementia fits into this and everything, but that's in God's hands too, right? Everything like that is in God's hands, and so we know these people are not responsible. We have a friend, well, he's in the States now, in Illinois. This guy, Tom and his brother, Barclay. Tom, Barclay and his brother, and they were from England. And he was kind of an opera singer type. And so he comes out to the Amazon to be a missionary. these guys. His brother is still down there in Sao Paulo. And they both married these American women, missionary ladies. But he's got Alzheimer's now and dementia. But the guy, he doesn't recognize anybody. And this happens to these people who are like that, music. They sing. They sing hymns. They're out of it. I mean, but they sing hymns, and they he sings some Irish tunes. He's an Irishman, and so forth. And we know that Art Robin's wife, you know, she was out of it, but she could play the piano. It's amazing, isn't it? How deep in the inner person, why there's this blessing going on. And unfaithful is he that calleth you, who also would do it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So here, these are just a few verses for meditation too. There's a lot that more could be said. And you yourself, you could give testimony. But I think I'll close with just two little things here. One is Galatians 2:20. Man, oh man, oh man. And I don't know. This is a 10-time day meditation. And I think it's okay. Paul is making this personal, but I think we can make it personal. And so I am crucified with Christ, right? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet no longer I, but Christ liveth in me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet no longer I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I don't know if you do this, but begin meditate on Galatians 2:20. If you haven't memorized it, memorize it. Then go over. Wow. So I, every morning, then at noon, and Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I am crucified with Christ. And I think maybe you mentioned that crazy verb there is what we call an imperfect tense, which means it begins in the past and still continues. I have been crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. That's why the translation is good. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet no longer I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and giving yourself for me. And, oh, Lord, I just lay down my life for you this day, today, right? And thank you for loving me and giving yourself for me. And so Galatians 2:20, wow, that's just a powerful, powerful, because, and it's a mystery that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, you know. And it's kind of scary because we want to live better than we do. Let me close with this. This is a little, actually was a Christmas greeting a year ago. It's from a lady called Pam Reeves. Pam Reeves was a professor up at Multnomah School of the Bible. In Portland. She was an architect, very brilliant lady, and she wrote, I meant to bring one of the books she wrote, she says, Faith Is is one of her little books. She was a tremendous influence on the students up there at Multnomah. Ruthie had her in several classes, because Ruthie was up there too. And but anyhow, she was a very godly woman, and she died, I guess, when she was about 92 or 93. But she wrote this, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. That is the goal of life, living to glorify and praise God, even in the smallest things. Since this is absolutely contrary and impossible for our self-pleasing, self-willed, self-glorifying, prideful nature, God by his Spirit sends his Son to be born in us so we can have his attitudes, his life style of service and sacrifice, his goal in life to glorify God. Isn't that beautiful? And that's really what it's about, that we are here to know the Lord and to glorify the Lord, right? And the glory to his name. Well, thank you very much, and I hope that this will be helpful to us. I had done it doesn't apply necessarily except for 4,000 tongues to sing, but if you can have something there, Nancy, you're picking a song for us. Yeah, you know what they do up at the chapel. I'm leading singing up there, and you can't believe the way I get to lead singing up there. But the song leader governs the whole service. I mean, every part of the service. And so at the last, it has the speaker and the song leader is supposed to choose the last hymn to sing, you know. And so here you're listening to what the speaker is saying, and then you're trying to think through this hymn book to apply the hymn to what has been said. And so that's a challenge, but Nancy knows all of these things, so she's already got it.
540.
What?
540.
540. Okay. Come on up here, brother. 540. Thank you very much. God bless, you know, and let's keep on going on. Keep on keeping on, right?
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for this letting me meditate with you.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in.
Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for allowing us to come out, Lord, and to fellowship one with another and with you, dear Heavenly Father, this evening. And we just thank you for the word that was preached, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember to meditate on your word, to hide your word in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. Lord, help us, Lord, to go to you, Lord, even when we think that there is no answer, no way, Lord, that we know that you will see us through, dear Heavenly Father. Forgive us for our shortcomings and our sins and trespasses against thee, dear Heavenly Father. And just help us, Lord, to go to you, Lord, and ask you for forgiveness and ask you for guidance, Lord, and we just pray for that. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this evening. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us. Lord, we pray for those who are sick. We pray for Sister Betsy, and Lord, help her get better, Lord. Even right now, Lord, just help her, Lord. Help her to feel better, Lord. Help her to get some rest tonight, Lord. Help her to wake up in the morning feeling good. Lord, we just thank you for that. And we pray for others in our church, Lord, that are ailing, Lord. Be with them, Lord. Lift them up. And we just thank you and praise you for the opportunity that we've had to come out to your church, Lord. We just pray for you to send a man, Lord, to be our preacher, our overseer, our pastor, our leader, Lord. And we just pray for that, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for everything that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I did it. I just have